Welcome to Hook, Line, and Splitter, a Jersey Shore Blue Claws podcast. And now, here's your host, Greg Giamborisi.
Hook, Line, and Splitter, a Jersey Shore Blue Claws podcast. Hi, everybody. I'm Greg Giamborisi. Coaching staff unveiling week around the Phillies organization. And we'll be joined on this episode by the manager of the Jersey Shore Blue Claws. Like in 2023, it's Greg Brodzinski. He's back in 2024. His staff this year will include Brad Bergeson as the pitching coach, Matt Ellmeyer as an assistant pitching coach, Adam Lind, hitting coach in his first year coaching minor league baseball, Orlando Munoz, position coach, Beth Greenwood, development coach, Keita Asaji, the athletic trainer, and John Sweeney, the strength and conditioning coach. So happy to talk to Bull and happy to welcome him back to the staff here in 2024. We talk about kind of the end of 2023, what he's been doing in the offseason, some of the stuff he's been doing down at the complex in Clearwater, and what he learned as a manager in 2023 that he'll apply in 2024, and much more. So, Greg Brodzinski, the manager of the Jersey Shore Blue Claws, he's back. Here's Hook, Line, and Splitter, a Jersey Shore Blue Claws podcast. Greg Brodzinski back for another go-around this summer with the Blue Claws, and he joins us from Florida. Welcome. How are you?
I'm doing great, Greg. I'm glad to see you.
Yeah, you too. You too. Congratulations on the reappointment. Looking forward to getting everything underway here coming up in a couple weeks, believe it or not.
Absolutely. I know. It seems like it's going to come up pretty quick, but it's, I'm excited to get started.
So you're down in Florida. You've been going over to the facility for the high-performance camp. Give us an idea what goes on there.
Yeah, so it's a good group, about 60, 70 guys down here right now, and you know, both position players and pitchers, and it's kind of an extension of their off-season program. So they come down, and you know, beginning of January we got started, and we kind of eased them back into the process. But it's great because, you know, they're on site, and you know, they're around the coaches, and we get to, you know, kind of see what they put, the work that they put in since the season ended, and then help them and continue to work through their off-season programs and get them ready for spring training.
And when, so what, March 1st-ish, when do the guys report, the minor league side report?
Yeah, I believe it's right around March 1st this year, and everybody will be coming down, and then we'll have, you know, full camp going, and guys, you know, kind of all over the complex getting ready for another great season.
At what point in the off-season were you ready to get going again?
I think it was like perfect timing. Right after the new year. What's great about living down here in Clearwater is I have the opportunity to kind of go into the complex whenever I'd like. And there's things here and there, especially kind of once the season ends, obviously we have some camps to finish up the year, but being able to, even once I get down here and take a few days off, I can still shoot over to the complex and get in. Or if we have a camp going on or some, you know, local guys live in the area that, you know, might be into the complex, I can still get a little taste of it. But, you know, right after the holidays, right after the new year, it was good to kind of get back into it with the start of the new high performance camp.
And the Phillies did a little different, right? They didn't do like the full instructional league that they had done in the past, right?
Right, right. And a lot of that, I know, I think with the timing of seasons ending differently, at least last year, I know this year it's going to be even more different. They kind of got, season ended, they send guys down, have a, you know, instructional league that's more tailored on, you know, prepping those guys going into an off season and kind of finishing off their year, which is not, you know, in the past it was more of like you play games, you play against, you know, other affiliates.
So you managed your first year here in 2023. That was your first year as a manager. What did you learn last year that will make you a better manager in 2024?
I think a lot, you know, especially, you know, your first year kind of going through that process. And, you know, obviously ever since I started coaching, I knew I wanted to manage. You have expectations of what that'll be like. And then you actually get to do it and go through that process. I was, you know, blessed to have an incredible staff. So I was surrounded by great people and great coaches. And then we had a really good, you know, group of men in that locker room that I was able to kind of take on that journey with me through my first year managing. And, you know, I've definitely learned a lot. I feel like in baseball in general, you kind of learn something new every single day. But, you know, just a lot of the small things that kind of go with the interpersonal relationships and the conversations you have. And, you know, understanding the feel of your team throughout a season and knowing kind of when to do things, when to not do things. A lot of, dealing with, the other side of things like your department and the business, operation side of, being part of an affiliate and an organization that's within your own organization and being able to communicate with different departments and everybody be on the same page. But no, there's so much that I learned throughout last year, just as a whole, that I'm going to continue to keep with me and take into the next season. But I just really enjoyed the process and everything that kind of went into it to be able to say, hey, that first year as a manager is something I always remember. And it's very successful. So that on top of everything else, it was definitely a great year.
One of the things that stood out was, you guys really fought to the end in both halves. Yeah. You were 8.5 out in the first half, cut it to a half game, I think, mm-hmm. and then fell a little short in the first half. Second half, 8 back at the midpoint, came all the way back and won it on the last day. We'll get to that last day in a second, but just big picture for you guys. I'm sure you had to be really proud, and all the coaches too, with the way that everybody battled all the way through to the wire in both halves after digging a relatively sizable hole.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that just shows a lot of the, character of our organization in general and the precedent that we're trying to set with our players, that not only is there the development aspect of everything that we do every single day, but the intention to when you're competing, when it's 7:05, 6:35, whatever it is, when it comes game time, that the expectation is, to win. And that obviously starts at the top and with our big league team and how they've been, going about their business the last couple of years. And it's just a trickle down that we'll get, we're always, the player is always first, right? And we're always going to do our best, especially as a organization and a staff to get the most out of them and develop them on a daily basis. And then, but them learning how to win and learning how to play as a team, it was really, I was really proud of the camaraderie aspect in that clubhouse that, everybody was pulling for each other. And like you said, we didn't make it too easy on ourselves, but the way that I think the consistency of the work every single day and them showing up and there was never too many highs or too many lows. And just keeping that consistent throughout the year is why I think you saw the result that you saw, because, the players, they bought in and they knew that, everything we were doing on a daily basis would ultimately result in the success that I think we showed at the end of the year.
The last day, that had to be one of the more wild games mm-hmm. in isolation. It could have been on April 30th, and it still would have been one of the crazier games you've probably ever been a part of. But then when you put in what was at stake, and then you guys are trying to follow the Brooklyn game, which is going on at the same time, and you had to win, they had to lose. There was weather involved. Mm-hmm. The whole thing was crazy. And yeah. then you win just an incredible game there. What do you remember most about that last day of the regular season?
Yeah, a lot, but I was actually just talking to a couple of the other staff members about it recently. And, but I just think the overall fight, the never give up attitude that our team had, especially that day, but the whole back end of that last half of the season. And I think it was like a culmination of everything, that these guys had put in throughout the whole year. And it seeing them, I would, I don't think I've ever been more proud of a group of guys and the staff than I was after that game, and just the emotions of it, the ups and downs, and the fans at that stadium are a little more vocal than I would say other fans are in the league. So like the whole game, they're calling out the score, and like the Brooklyn game was up and down too. It's like they were losing and they were winning, and then
yep.
so not only did we have going on what we did, we knew we needed to take care of business and win the game, but you have the fans on top of that, like every inning just wearing out, our dugout, and when I was coaching third with the score that was happening. So it was the ride of emotions throughout the game was unbelievable. The fight of the players to the very end was incredible. And then just the pure joy that I think everybody had with the outcome of that game and winning the game and being able to make the playoffs, obviously, but I think it was a lot of like validation in terms of like the hard work and everything that they had put in for 130 plus games to that point. They really earned it. And all the credits to the players, because that was not an easy game. A lot of, the whole roster essentially contributed to that win. And it was just a lot of fun. And, see, obviously not, the joy of the players after the game. It was like that made it for me.
To me, it was Kemp and Cotto. Kemp makes, he gets the second hit to start the ninth inning. You're down by two. And it's one thing to get one hit. Okay. But then when he gets the second hit, that kind of like says, okay, this is going to be a real
inning
here.
Yeah. Right. We got a chance. Yeah.
And then he makes the diving stop in the bottom of the 11th, the first batter of the 11th. You had taken the lead.
Yeah.
And you had,
and runner on second base to start.
Yeah, right. Runner at second. And I'm sure you were probably a little disappointed to only score one run in the inning. They had brought in a catcher to pitch, and you only scored the one run, and they get the runner at second. So it's like, well, here we go. We'll see. Because, you figure they're probably, most of the time you score the run. Cotto right. comes in, who's in a different spot than he'd been used to, and that was just out of straight necessity. He ran out of everybody else. So he makes that amazing diving play and then holds the runner at second, and then Cotto bears down and gets those outs in a, doing something that he wasn't accustomed to doing. I think that was just a special hour right there, ninth, 10th, 11th inning.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, a lot of the team contributed, especially at the end, like even, Brito putting the ball play and getting down the line and beating it out. And, but yes, with Kemper, who, he just showed, day in and day out, just like the pure grit and baseball player that he kind of is. Obviously, he's got a lot of talent on top of it. It helps you win ball games. And then, it was pretty ironic that Cotto was our opening day starter, and then he got the last out of
That's
the last
true.
Game of the regular season.
That's true.
It was kind of went, it just shows how much you can go through in a season span. But, that was – he was going to throw at some point in that game, and the way the craziness of that game, ups and downs. And it almost like worked out in a way that, okay, he was perfect for that spot. And then you throw some really good defense in behind him, and, just his own maturity and growth that we saw in that one moment, that like this guy, at the beginning of the season, you don't know, what that result will be, but to see how he stepped up and was able to kind of finish that. It was cool. It was cool to see the end of the season and the way that, team wise we finished it, as a unit.
You'll have a new staff this year from the staff that was here in 2023. How much have you worked with a few of these guys? I know you and Brad Bergeson, the pitching coach, have been around the system for a few years, couple of new guys. Tell us about your staff.
Yeah, it's going to be a great group. I'm really excited. Once again, like I said, a lot of props to my staff from last season. But I'm really looking forward to working with the group that Preston and everybody's put together going into 2024. Brad Bergeson and I, we actually never coached directly on the same staff before. Obviously we've been around each other, spring trainings, different things. I think he does a really good job, and I'm excited to kind of work hand in hand with them on the same staff. And I've only heard great things about, other managers that have had him on their staff as a pitching coach. We're going to have another pitching coach, Matt Elmire, who was with the Phillies a few years back in more of our advance and video department. And then he's coming over from Texas. I've got a chance to meet him and spend some time with him, over these high performance camps, and really, bright mind. Seems like he's got a really good grasp of the pitching side, and him and Berge working together, I think, will be a good 1-2 punch kind of handling staff.
He pitched at Wofford.
Yep. So we talked a little bit of our South Carolina connections, and so it's been good. It's been fun to meet him, and I think he's gonna be a really great addition. I know he's coming over from Texas, which does a really good job, and it's just been, kind of enlightening to hear a different side of things and hear him, kind of talk through the pitching, his pitching thoughts. But him and Berge together, anytime you can have like a two-headed monster, especially in one department, I think it's going to be great for the guys and the players that we have. And then we brought in Adam Lind. He'll be the hitting coach, who had an unbelievable playing career And anybody you talk to and you tell them, hey, Adam Flynn's gonna be my hitting coach, they say, man, that guy could really hit. So that's a great starting point. He's kind of fresh on the coaching side of the game, but same thing. He's a local guy from the Palm Harbor area. So he's been getting into the complex, and we've been spending a lot of good time together. And I've just been picking his brain. Someone with, that extensive of a major league playing career, they got a lot to offer, and his personality's great. I think he's going to really connect with our hitters, and he's eager to learn a lot of that side of the, at least the coaching side of the game, and kind of morph, everything he's learning with the knowledge he already has. It's going to be really fun to watch. And then Orlando Munoz, who's been with the Phillies for as long as I can remember that I've been here, and he's been managing down in our academy in the DR. He's a legend in the coaching world. He's been awesome. I know our relationship has built over the years. We spent time together here at the complex, when he's come to visit for spring training, when I would go down to the academy, and every time I've been around him, I've learned something new, and it's been a blast because, he's just a bubbly personality. He connects with the players really well, and he really knows the game of baseball. So adding him, I know he's gonna do a lot of the infield work with our guys, and his expertise in that side of the game, which is gonna help out our players. And with all the managing experience that he has, it'll help me out because I'll be able to go to him with different questions, and we'll be side by side and on different aspects of in game, just decisions and thoughts and talking baseball. So I'm excited to have Mooney on the staff.
He spent a lot of time in Italy, I saw, which I thought was kind of interesting.
He's been everywhere. The guy's a legend. I'm telling you, he's a very extensive baseball background, and I'm fortunate enough that he's gonna be on my staff this year and be able to contribute to making these guys better on a daily basis. And then we'll also have Beth Greenwood, who will be handling a lot of the catching, and also new and getting into coaching. I know she started kind of in our information and analytics and video department as well. And then last year down here in Clearwater, she switched over to the coaching side because one thing I think that is great we do organizationally is that, they ask people kind of, hey, like, what do you want to do? What are your goals? Like, even on the, coaching side of things. And, I definitely know that my time around her, she's very knowledgeable of the game. She's played. She is, I think, one of like the top 40 women's baseball players in the country. And so she's got a good playing background. She's, gotten her feet wet on the coaching side. And I think she'll be another good addition. And, I think one thing I'm excited about is as a staff, one, mentoring and helping out as much as I can with whatever knowledge that I have, and also learning, because I think it's a great group that, being surrounded by, great baseball minds is only going to make everybody else better. So not only will I take pride in, continuing to develop the staff as much as the players, but also just learning from, I think it's a really good combination of human beings, and the personalities are great. The knowledge of the game is great, and I'm really looking forward to it. And we're going to have Keita Isagi as our athletic trainer, and then John Sweeney as our strength and conditioning coach. So it's going to be a really good group, and looking forward to working with everybody.
Back to the podcast in a second. Since 1986, Rich Green Lawns has been the leading lawn fertilization company of the Jersey Shore, providing lawn fertilization, bed weed control, tick and mosquito control, as well as tree and shrub programs. Mention this ad and save 50% off your first lawn application. Call or text us today at 732-370-5963, 732-370-5963, or richgreenlawns.com. And when shopping for appliances, electronics, and mattresses, you want a local hometown team that you can trust. That's PC Richard & Son. PC Richard & Son is a friendly and knowledgeable sales team, installations and repair service you can trust, and the guaranteed lowest prices. So get to PC Richard & Son today. Shop smart. Shop local. Shop PC Richard & Son. Brock Stassi, who was the hitting coach last year, he'll be in Reading.
Yep.
Phil Condari, the pitching coach last year, he'll be in Reading as the pitching coach there. And Chris Adamson will be the bench coach in Lehigh Valley among the group that was with the Blue Claws a year ago. I did want to have you touch on I guess a couple guys. You got Justin Crawford and Brian Rincon at the end of the year. They were here probably 3, maybe 4 weeks at the end of the regular season, and then the 3 games in the postseason. They've gotten a lot of attention, of course, this offseason, as you might expect. But in the month that you got to work with them, you know, you hit them 1-2 for much of that time. And they played center field and shortstop every day. They were among the younger players in the league by the time they were here. What stood out to you about those two guys?
I would say the first thing is you have some really young talent, right? The age kind of jumps off the page to me that, hey, like the way these guys comported themselves when they came up to Jersey Shore at that age, you don't see that often. The talent kind of speaks for itself. You know, they both have different kind of packages in terms of the type of player that they are. But when you look at the tool set that, you know, Justin has and Brian has, especially at that age, it's really exciting. And, you know, I was fortunate enough, obviously, they came up. I had them. I got to plug them in the lineup every day and kind of just see how they went about their business. But I think they're both, you know, advanced and mature in terms of the way they go about things, which is also a positive, because, you know, you see in this game, it's kind of getting younger and younger at the top. And so when you have, you know, great talents like both of those players and then they handle themselves, you know, kind of in a more mature and go about their business in a professional way, like, it's great to see, because a lot of times that takes some time to build in and learn. And, but, you know, with Justin, obviously the speed jumps off the chart. He can really defend center field. And then you just see the way he can put the barrel on the ball and wreak havoc on the bases. He's a game-changing type of talent. I was really impressed, I feel like, with Brian's kind of game clock at shortstop. It's another thing that a lot of guys develop and they learn over, you know, building and working their way through the levels of the minor leagues. But he seemed to have a pretty good idea of, hey, the game gets a little quicker as you go up, and he didn't really miss a step once we plugged him in there in Jersey Shore. And, you know, as a switch hitting shortstop, and with his body and his age, it was fun to kind of see. And I thought even the arm at shortstop, he made some plays in the six hole where it was like you opened your eyes a little bit, like, hey, you know, a normal kid his age doesn't really make plays like that. So it was fun to watch both of them. And I think we've done a great job organizationally of kind of like continually to develop those guys, especially at a young age. And I'm excited to see where it goes from there.
I'm obviously not a scout, but just with my amateur eyes watching, in Rincon's case, you mentioned, you know, that the game never really sped up on him. You can kind of see it in the feet. And like, he never got happy feet. And the same was true of Eric Brito, who played an outstanding shortstop. And then you kicked him over to second base when Rincon got here. But like, they never got happy feet. They were just silky smooth no matter where they went. And even if it was a tough play, even if they had to hurry, the feet always kind of told you the story that they were in control of the play.
Right. Yeah, no, exactly. And that's where I think they showed that. And even you mentioned Brito, like, same thing with him, you know, defensively. Being advanced for their ages and the way that, you know, they'll make plays, whether it's going the right or left, they're rangy, they got good arms, and it's easy in our game to kind of let it speed up on you and in your mind, essentially, because when your mind gets going quick, then everything else, like you said, the feet never got too quick, and they were able to make a lot of really great plays. And that was something that I think really impressed me, you know, especially with Brian.
Without, obviously, we all have a, you know, I'm sure you have a general idea of some guys that could be here. I'm not going to ask you to comment on, obviously, moves that we don't know what'll happen yet, but you have the potential to have a really fast team with Crawford, Emarion Boyd, Cade Fergus, all guys that could potentially be here. You ran a lot at the beginning of the year last year, and then some of the speed got promoted, but I know you want to be a little more aggressive. This team specifically has a chance to be one of the faster teams in the minors, I would think.
Yeah, you know, especially, you know, potentially with the group we could have there in Jersey Shore. It's always exciting as a manager, because I always say speed kills, right? When you have guys that can get on bases and wreak havoc out there, it's an advantage right off the bat, especially with some of the new rules that are implemented, different things with the pitch clock. It's like, it just changes the game, and what excites me about it is, one, these guys have the speed, but also an opportunity for them to kind of learn their limits, right? And that's part of the development process is, hey, you know, I'm more on the side of, hey, like we're gonna give them some freedom. We're going to cut them loose a little bit, and then like we'll talk about it. We'll teach. There'll be teaching moments. There'll be different things where we can go back, and that's where the development aspect comes in. And when we got to put the reins on a little bit, we will. But if, you know, like I said, I think we talked about it a lot last year. It's like your team is going to kind of tell you, you know, what kind of style you're going to have. And when we have the more speed guys that we have, and I just think organizationally we have more and more athletes now that we have in the past as they come through, it will behoove me not to use the speed and utilize everything that they can do talent wise. So I'm excited about that. Even, you know, from a score and run standpoint, you know, guys, they get on first, they're scoring on doubles and they're on second. So they're that kind of speed that's next level. And or, you know, they walk and the next thing you know, they're on third because they stole second, they stole third. And so it's exciting. It, especially the more fast guys you have, the more bases that you can acquire and hopefully leads to more runs. But I think it just goes to, hey, we're going to give them the freedom to kind of see, hey, these are my limits. This is what I can do. And then if stuff comes up here and there, like we'll talk about it and we'll teach and we'll go over those different moments and how they, you know, kind of go with the game situations. But I think for the most part, we do a pretty good job of informing these guys going into it, whether it's the series or the day. And then we go from there.
We talked to Preston on here right around Thanksgiving, and we're talking about this, the speed guys. And he said that, yeah, those three that I mentioned are fast, but Avery Owusu might be faster than all of them. Have you seen him? Mm-hmm. I know he might, he's probably Clearwater, but have you seen him?
So, yeah, I've met Avery and I've got to know him here at the high performance camp. I haven't seen him really.
Yeah, they haven't really done a lot of, they don't do a lot of that. Like,
aside from like sprint work and, the things that the training staff have him doing, I haven't seen him, you know, get on the bases and run out, leg out a double. But you know, the body's great. Obviously I've heard he's got a ton of speed and can really move. And when you hear that, it's pretty impressive because he's, you know, a bigger build and, you know, strong, you know, definitely an athlete, but you're talking top speed and you just add another one to that group. It's exciting.
Yeah. I know you're very, you know, thought minded going back over these games and everything. Did you go back through the playoff games?
Yeah. Afterwards, I gave it a little moment, waited till a little long drive back down here to Florida, but definitely, you know, I'm a big, you know, hindsight's 2020 type of guy and try to make as informed decisions as I can at the moment that they're happening with all the information that I have at the time. So, but it's always good to go back and kind of reevaluate and look at them. But yes, I did back after we got down here after the season.
I don't think there was anything you could have. I mean, I don't think there's anything you could have done. They brought in a tough lefty to face Pineda with the bases loaded in the eighth inning of game three. And he got him and like, okay, he's a good lefty. Like he's a good lefty. That's what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to get left-handed hitters out.
Right. And Pineda, you know, at that point in the year is one of our best hitters the last month and a half, 2 months finished up the season. So it's like best on best. And that's the game. Sometimes, you know, you have exactly what you want and you know, our guys performed in those moments a lot, you know, throughout the season. And I give them a lot of credit, you know, just to get to that point. It was a lot of being on the other side of it, being successful. That is what got us there. You know, I look back, even the home run that Felix Reyes hit, you know, to walk it off, you know, that was a huge win. Like we had to have that win. But he also, you know, he had to do it. And Pineda came up with huge hit after huge hit down the stretch. And so, yeah, like looking back at some of those playoff games and
Ricketts hit the home run.
Well, yeah, that was incredible. But even like, you know, we had opportunity with men on third base and it's like, you know, you saw those guys over and over and over again, get it done. Throughout the season and we just happened to not do it there. But I think every single one of those players is better off for being in that moment and being in that playoff setting and feeling that pressure and going through that now when they're in high A ball so that when that moment comes up, you know, down the road and they're in the big leagues and it's game six, they'll be like, hey, I've been here before.
I mean, you probably learned a lot as a manager and they probably learned a lot. I mean, the last 3 weeks. You guys played some bananas games.
Yes.
I mean, some of them went the wrong way. There were those those two games against Aberdeen where they came back on you. Yep. But there was that game in Wilmington where you scored five, at least four, in the ninth inning.
Five when Ricketts hit the backside homer.
Right. Into the left field bullpen. The last series against Aberdeen, there were a few crazy games in there.
Yep.
The last series against Hudson Valley had a few game, you know, crazy games in there too. That was you guys. That was a roller coaster that
it
you
was,
came out on top of him.
But like you just said, I think that's where staying even keel and kind of, you know, keeping every day the same and in terms of just upbeat, you know, positivity and personality and, you know, how you go about your business and keeping it like here all the time. It's easy to ride those roller coasters because we had that one stretch where we would be up late and just
The Rome Winston-Salem trip.
We would, yeah, we had lead after lead late, but like that's also baseball, right? You go through some of the stretches and it's easy to kind of go in the tank. And I've seen teams in the past do that, but like more credit to the players is and the staff of just, hey, coming in the next day, back to work and just kind of staying on that even process. And when they went about it properly, that's when those games start to turn and you see the tick back up and then everybody gets excited. You start, you know, everybody, you know, feel good kind of compounds itself. And I thought that's what overall, and not, you know, as a staff, but as a group in that locker room, they did a really good job all year.
Last one, with Felix, you mentioned he hit that home run. Mm-hmm. I remember he comes up like a week before and he came up when Justin went down to Florida because his father was getting inducted into the Rays Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
So you're losing a center fielder and you already had a lot of infielders, especially corner infielders. And, you know, you had like Kendall was playing every day. Rickson was playing every day. You had the DH spot that was rotated amongst a bunch of guys.
Mm-hmm.
So I said to myself, I don't know, why are they sending him another corner infielder? That's a little weird. And then he ends up getting the biggest hit of the season. And then you played him in the playoffs and he had a couple of big hits in there that could have been game changing plays. Maybe, you know, that you couldn't get him in or whatever, but he had big hits. He had an oppo double in Hudson Valley, one of those games too.
Yeah. No, and that's where, you know, especially at that point, like that's the guy that he earned it, right? He was down in Clearwater. He went through that whole process and proved himself down there in Clearwater. And I think it was a great opportunity and good timing that I'm sure when they were looking to kind of fill that spot when Crawford was heading down to Florida, a lot of that had to do with him earning that and getting the right to be promoted through his play and his performance. And I've talked about a lot of great things we've been doing organizationally the last few years, but I think that's one of them. I think there's not as much as it might've been, you know, in the past of like, hey, you just get to move because you move. Like, it's not a thing. It's, you need to play. You need to play well. You need to do everything the right way. You need to, you know, uphold the Philly standard on a daily basis, and then you got to perform. And when you do, you get rewarded for that. And I think Felix is one of them. And he's an exciting player. And it was, you know, like you said, that home run was unbelievable. It was on the day we took the picture with all the fans. So like that made that picture a lot more easy.
It was the last home game of the regular season.
So,
and if he didn't hit it and you lost that game, you're two back going into that last week. And that's awfully, well, no, I think you could have been two back because Brooklyn played that night, something like that. You could have been two back, and I think maybe you were tied going in, and it just it changed the whole thing. And you had lost a couple really tough games the previous two nights. And I know, like, you don't want anything to, it doesn't, you try not to let anything carry over. But, you know, if you had lost three in a row there, it kind of takes a little wind out of the sails. It would be hard not to. And that was a huge home run. And it was a 4-run inning, too. It's not like that was the only hit of the inning.
Right.
A bunch of guys.
Yeah, it capped off and, an unbelievable finish. Like I said, the players all season, they battled. That's one thing, even hearing from some of, you know, the fans that, you know, would be there every night and some different people in organizations when they would come in town, that was one thing they saw with that group is that the fight, right? They never were out of any, like we weren't out of any game because they competed literally till the last out was made. And I think that tone gets set organizationally, it gets set in spring training, it gets set by our staff, it gets set when we get up there for the beginning of the season. And then obviously as a staff, we kind of uphold that, but then, you know, that kind of the team takes mold and they feed off each other. So hopefully we'll continue to have more of that this year.
You ready for a spring training, second one as manager, and what, like seventh as a coach?
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm excited. And what's great is, you know, obviously I love being down here, you know, live down here and love going into the complex, but with these, you know, high performance camps and mini camps, it's, you kind of get to roll into it. And I think, you know, we've done a really good job of kind of being able to build these guys up, but I'm definitely looking forward to it. Looking forward to meeting a lot of the new staff members that we brought in the off season. It's been great getting to know a lot of the players we drafted last year, that, you know, obviously we don't see until we get down here during spring training, and just ready to get after it. It's a lot of fun. And obviously, you know, the managing side of things is great because I love people. I love being around people and love being around the players. And this is kind of like the start of that. So like my head's already turning on, you know, what I need to do next to kind of get the staff together. I can't wait till everybody gets down here and we can all be together and just get ready for the season.
Just need a smoother flight, right, from Tampa to Newark or Tampa to Philly than the one last year.
Yes,
and then we'll absolutely. Be good to go.
That would be great. Yeah. That would make my day, because
you guys like circled around Northern Virginia mm-hmm. for like 2 hours or right. something.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. So hopefully that it's more of a smooth transition getting up there, but I'm really looking forward to it.
There'll be an exhibition game again against Reading.
Yep.
That first week, and then I think
I believe that's at home again, correct?
Where it is. It'll be here. I assume Tuesday. I don't think it's been final. Tuesday or Wednesday, probably Tuesday. And then Friday, April 5th is the opener. So very exciting time of the year, of course. Thanks for a few minutes. I kept you longer than I said I would, but
no, anytime. Anything for you, Greg. You know that. You guys like I didn't get a chance to say it, but really appreciate everything, you know, that you guys and your staff and the front office did last year for myself and our staff. And so definitely makes that a lot more exciting and look forward to that again, because you guys are awesome. And if you ever need anything, you let me know.
Yeah, we'll do. Well, we'll see you in a few weeks.
Awesome. Thanks, Greg.
Thanks to Greg Brodzinski for joining us here on Hook, Line, and Splitter. Lightstar Energy Group is a leading energy brokerage firm headquartered in New Jersey. Our goal is to provide clients with premium energy management services to lower electricity and natural gas costs and to provide a long-term energy management strategy. We pride ourselves on bringing each and every individual business the same benefits of deregulation enjoyed by universities, municipalities, and all high-volume energy users. Tailored products and contracts, lower-cost personal attention, an outstanding service. 732-722-5880. 732-722-5880. To learn more about Lightstar Energy Group today. Elsewhere around the organization, some of the coaches that were with the Blue Claws last year, Phil Condari and Brock Stassi, will go to AA Reading. Chris Adamson, who was the bench coach with the Blue Claws, he'll go do that role in AAA this year with the Iron Pigs in Lehigh Valley, and Megan Flaherty, who is the athletic trainer with the Blue Claws this year, she will go up to AA Reading and work there. Al Padrique will be back. He'll be the manager there. Phil Condari, as we said, is the pitching coach there. Brock Stassi. Carl Ellison, who played for the Blue Claws back in 2021 as a catcher, he's joining the organization as a development coach in AA Reading. Marty Malloy, who managed the Blue Claws a couple of seasons, he'll be the manager once again in Clearwater. And then one of the Blue Claws players from last year, Uziel Valoria, who was an infielder. He retired from playing in the middle of the season last year, late June, early July. He is going to be the hitting development coach for the Dominican Summer League Phillies Red team. So really excited about Uziel getting into the mix. A few former Blue Claws players, Samuel Luciano, Alex Concepcion, and now Uziel, are on the coaching staff for the Dominican Summer League Phillies Red team down in the complex at the DR. And then elsewhere, Sean Williams, who managed the Blue Claws a couple of years, he's the manager for the Florida Complex League. Phillies, Rafael de Lima, who was the hitting coach here in 2021, is the hitting coach for the Florida Complex League Phillies, and former Blue Claws manager Keith Werman will serve as the coordinator in charge of the Florida Complex. So just some notes there around the Philly system. Travis Hergert and Luke Merton, who were recent guests on this podcast. Hergert is the pitching coordinator, Luke Merton the director of hitting development. So a lot of guys that you've heard from on here, those all were announced earlier today on February the 5th. So excited to get everybody back 2 months from opening day, in fact, here at Shoretown Ballpark. Going to be a fun one. And welcome back, Bull. Welcome back, Greg Brodzinski. Thanks to Bull for joining us. Have a great day, everybody. We'll get a few of these going here as we approach the return of baseball. And we're going to try to track down somebody from the Adelaide Giants who won the Australian Baseball League Championship. Number of former Blue Claws out there, including Cam Wynn, Rickson Wingrove, Cade Fergus, Kendall Simmons, Eindrick Nava was out there, and all managed by Chris Adamson. So congratulations to the Adelaide Giants, have been kind of a sister team with the Blue. Nick Ward was out there too. Sister team to the Blue Claws over the last two seasons, and we wish them the best and congratulate them on their ABL title. We're going to try to get somebody from out there at some point as well. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day. Thanks for listening to Hook, Line, and Splitter, New Jersey Shore Blue Claws Podcast.